Blog Talk Radio.
Out there. Hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to my show, another edition of Black by Color Only. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a warning. Please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you like to come in here and disrupt this show in any kind of way, things such as ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, insulting, gaslighting, excessive profanity, those type of things are going to get you kicked off of the show. Now, I'm warning you now so that you won't have an excuse later on. And if you feel like you want to indulge in those type of activities and without heeding the warning, I will be more than happy to oblige you. Okay. I want to have, you know, reasonable conversations on here. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just come here, you know, and try not to be disagreeable. Okay, so, but before I start the show, let me just play this right quick.
You know, I was the first person to be a woman Attorney General of California. I was the first woman to be elected District Attorney of San Francisco. I was the first person of color to be elected Attorney General of California. Whatever, first. Welcome to the Role Model Club. It's tough. Being a part of the Role Model Club means being in a room where sometimes you may be the only person who has had the experiences you've had. You know, I was the first.
Okay. My apologies for those of you all who didn't want to hear Kamala's voice beginning this show. I told my wife yesterday, I don't have any hatred for her, but I'm tired of hearing her voice and seeing her face. I really am. And it's not because of hatred, but it's because of how she, and we're going to get to this sometime later in the program, but it's basically how she is answering questions, which she doesn't answer the questions that are offered to her in her interviews or whatever, if you can call them interviews, but she does not answer the question. and she won't answer the question. You know, I'm pretty sure that there's someone's really yanking her strings in the background. And I don't know why I can't get my chat on, but I think someone's yanking her strings in the background and they're telling her to answer a certain kind of way. And I really don't believe that she has answers. You know, I really do believe that she just comes up with something. You know, they call it a word salad. You know, it's almost like a filibuster. She just gets up there and starts talking about a bunch of nothing. And what gets me is people, they just hang their hearts on every word she speaks, like, oh, she speaks so great and everything. And she's not saying anything. She's not saying a cotton-picking thing, but people just, you know, they just admire her. And this leads me to what I wanted to talk about today. And let me get this on. Get my trusty iPhone on. Get this done right quick. What I wanted to talk about today was the subject of critical thinking. And, you know, what I'm seeing today in our world is a lot of critical thinking. A lot of people are not thinking. They're not making informed and logical choices in whom they follow or who they listen to or whatever. But before I go into that, let me explain what critical thinking is. Critical thinking is the ability to effectively analyze information and form a judgment. To think critically, you must be aware of your own biases and assumptions when encountering information and apply consistent standards when evaluating sources. and this is so important because a lot of times you all ever notice that for like during, you know, presidential elections, people favor one person, but they don't favor another. But they'll judge one person one way, and they'll judge another person a different way. They bring their biases into it. Like you'll say, okay, now you said this about so and so. You condemned him for this, but your favorite person over here did the same thing. But you're not condemning them. See, that's a sign of bias, and you have to apply a consistent standard. Whether the person you're applying the standard to is a person you like or don't like. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. Critical thinking skills help you to identify credible sources, evaluate and respond to arguments, assess alternative viewpoints, and test hypotheses against relevant criteria. And critical thinking is important for making judgments about sources of information and forming your own arguments. It emphasizes a rational, objective, and self-aware approach that can help you to identify credible sources and strengthen your conclusions. Critical thinking is important in all disciplines and throughout all stages of the research process. The types of evidence used in the sciences and in the humanities may differ, but critical thinking skills are relative to both. In academic writing, critical thinking can help you to determine whether a source is free from research bias, provides evidence to support its research findings, and considers alternative viewpoints. Outside of academia, critical thinking goes hand in hand with information literacy to help you form opinions rationally and engage independently and critically with popular media. Okay, now, this is why critical thinking is so important, because what we are seeing today and in this election cycle and whatever, and we've been seeing this for decades, Are people responding to a candidate based on what they heard or how they feel about this person without using rational thought, without using a logic process to say, okay, I hear and I feel a certain way about this person, but let me check this person out so I can get truthful information about this person instead of going by what you hear someone say. And a lot of us fall for this every time the election cycle comes around. And not only that, it gets to the point where you don't care what the truth is about your favorite person or your favorite viewpoint or whatever. You don't care what the truth is. You just want to follow along a certain way. Like I gave an example of someone I suggested that they read a book. You know, I suggested a book for them to read to, you know, maybe expand their thinking. And they were like, nah, I don't want to read that because that book is written by a conservative. See, right there, you're not using critical thinking because you're not reaching over to try to listen to another viewpoint to contrast with your viewpoint and come to a logical conclusion. You just want to stick to your side. You want to circle the wagon, so to speak, intellectually or mentally, because this is a way you have always thought, your folks taught you to think like this. You've always thought like this. You think like this now. You're always going to think like this. A person who has that mentality does not know how to use critical thinking skills. And yes, critical thinking, you know, when you bring up a subject like this and you say, and you couple it with the word skill, you know, I really believe, and this is my opinion, I believe that that word scares a lot of people because skill is something you have to develop. And the only way you're going to develop anything is to take time to work that development. And a lot of people are not willing to do that. So they're willing to allow someone to feed information to them, just a lot of information, and they receive their information passively. See, when you think critically, you're not getting a lot of passive information. Critical thinking adds a filter to the information that you are receiving into yourself. You know, it's like a water purification plant. They have different types of filters and everything to make sure the water is clean for drinking. But if those filters are not in place, you're just going to receive all kinds of garbage. And a lot of times the people who don't use these critical thinking skills, they think they're right. They have this, what do you call it, information bias, or what do you call it, confirmation bias. You know, they basically want to go around and find other sources that agree with their viewpoint instead of saying, well, let me reach out here and let me hear an opinion from someone that I don't agree with. They're not going to do that because it's like, oh, no, nah, because they have built up such a defense against an opposing viewpoint. They let go of their critical thinking skills and follow their biases, you know, follow their mental biases, you know, confirmation bias. And there are all kinds of resources and everything out there to get you to help you, you know, develop your critical thinking skills. But this is an art that is not being taught in our schools, in our homes, in our churches. It's not being taught. It's not being pushed up. You know, you have to use logic and reason to figure out the information that you are receiving. And a lot of that is not being taught. You know, what do a lot of people do? You know, a lot of people, like politically, they think their grandparents thought a certain way, their parents thought a certain way, and now they're thinking a certain way because they just accept it because they say, oh, well, that's, you know, how my parents thought. That's what they taught me. But people don't realize that a lot of what you've been taught can be wrong. And I think it loathes a lot of people to think that their mama and their grandmama and their great-grandmama was wrong about what they feel about politics or how the world operates or whatever. And it behooves them to remain in their sad state, because if you're a person and you don't use your critical thinking skills, you're in a very sad state. You had this circle the wagons mentality, and you want to shut out any other opposing sphere of thought. Instead of saying, okay, let me check out what this guy is saying, or let me hear what this person is saying. And see, when you don't use critical thinking skills, you close your mind. You're not open-minded. You're not willing to listen, basically. And that's what occurs when you don't think critically. Now, reason why I played that clip by Kamala Harris at the beginning of the show, you know, we know the players in this game is, you know, you got Kamala Harris on one side, you got Donald Trump on the other. And a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. They just don't like him. I don't like him. You know, he's a racist. He's this, he's that, and he's this and this and that. And when people give them information to the contrary, they still don't want to hear it because they are mentally lazy. And not only that, they are intellectually lazy because they're not going to research, go on the internet, get a book or whatever, to confirm their biases. They want to stay in that area. And you got people saying that Donald Trump is a racist, he hates women, he hates foreigners, and people just tend to believe it, but they have no evidence. Like a friend of mine used to say, they really don't have a toenail to stand on. But when it comes to Kamala Harris, you know, everyone is they're following after her because she's a woman, she's a woman of color, and she's a liberal Democrat. And this is who the mainstream media and the liberal Democrats, the liberal think tanks in this country, these are the people that they're trying to get everyone, this is the type of person, excuse me, that they're trying to get people to follow after, because they want you to think along these lines. And Kamala can say anything. She can get up there. I mean, this woman is, she tosses a mean word salad. Matter of fact, I want to know what kind of dressing she uses in her word salad. She really says a bunch of nothing, but everyone is like, oh, man, she's deep. But she's so deep that a lot of you all drown. You don't know how to swim in the waters, so to speak. And she can get up here and she can say whatever. She can say the most outrageous stuff. And you still, you know, hey, I'm going to follow Kamala. And this occurs, the lack of critical thinking is not based on what group you're in or anything. Anybody can suffer from this. Anybody, whether you're black, white, red, olive, brown, yellow, anyone can fall for this. And to be honest with you, I think everyone who's alive today has actually fallen for it. But see, you have to make an active attempt to bring to help that common sense within your being materialize, so you can use critical thinking skills, because critical thinking and common sense go hand in hand. And like I've said before, a lot of us have common sense, but we choose not to use it. And this lack of using critical thinking, it is not an accident. I can guarantee you, it is not an accident. The powers that be are counting on us to be dumb. They're counting on us to be stupid, because then they know they can just pour that unfiltered information into you and get you to believe any little thing at the drop of a hat. That's what I talk about the news media about. The news media, they think they have the job of, hey, we're the ones giving you the information. So you just sit before us and you take in all this information, and you will have all the information that you need. And a lot of people, they'll sit there, they'll suck up what is being fed to them off of the boob tube. I don't know anybody uses that term anymore, boob tube, but you know, I'll just use it now. We know what that is, the television set. They'll sit there, they'll absorb all that, and they think that what they have just heard from their news reporter is all the information they need. And they don't understand that they have just received unfiltered information that is designed to get you to think a certain way. In a way, the information is filtered, because a lot of times the facts and the reasoning and the logic is filtered out of that information, and they're just pouring pure garbage into your intellect. That's basically what they're doing. They can take a 30-minute interview, snippet here, snippet there, edit here, edit there, pack it in a nice, neat box, wrap it in some nice-looking wrapping paper, put a bow on it, and throw it at you, and you think, oh, man, hey, I got all the information I need. And a lot of people are not active in their own learning. They want someone to feed the information to them. A lot of people are loathe to read a book. A lot of people, when they go on the internet, they're not going on the internet to get information. They're on there to get some type of entertainment. And they don't have they don't use their common, the common sense has been deadened to a level where they won't sit there and say, hey, I know what I'm hearing, but let me look into this. Let me research this. That's where critical thinking comes in. Now, let me give you an example of what critical thinking is. You're writing a research paper on recent innovations in diabetes treatment. You read an article that claims positive results for an at-home treatment that was recently developed. The results of the research are impressive, and the treatment seems to be groundbreaking. However, when you compare the findings of the study with other current research, you determine that the results seem improbable. You analyze the paper again, consulting the source it cites. You notice that the research was funded by the pharmaceutical company that created the treatment. Because of this, you view its results skeptically and determine that more independent research is necessary to confirm or refute them. And that's what critical thinking is you're trying to either confirm the information or refute it. Now, here's an example of poor critical thinking, or none. You're researching a paper on the impact wireless technology has had on developing countries that previously did not have large-scale communications infrastructure. You read an article that seems to confirm your hypothesis. The impact is mainly positive. Rather than evaluating the research methodology, you accept the findings uncritically. You just accept them at face value. In this instance, you have failed to engage with the source critically and have displayed confirmation bias in accepting its conclusions based on a belief you already had. You just accept it at face value. You don't go in and research. You just hear someone say, "Oh yeah, this is good. You're like, "Oh, okay, he says it's good, so it's good." Nah, that's not critical thinking. Now, let me give you another example of good critical thinking. You are thinking about upgrading the security features of your home. You want to install an alarm system, but are unsure what brand is the most reliable. You search home improvement websites and find a 5-star review article of an alarm system. The review is positive. The alarm seems easy to install and reliable. However, you decide to compare this review article with consumer reviews on a different site. You find that these reviews are not as positive. Some customers have had problems installing the alarm, and some have noted that it activates for no apparent reason. You revisit the original review article. You notice that the word "sponsored content" appear in small print under the article title. Based on this, you conclude that the review is advertising and is therefore not an unbiased source. A lot of times when I go onto Amazon or a site like that, you know, I try to look at the reviews, you know, because I just, you know, a lot of times when you go to, you know, when you do online shopping or you're looking for certain information, you know, the first thing that we see is the one that we'll usually gravitate towards instead of looking and seeing, okay, well, let me see other sources that talk about the same object. Now, keep in mind that when you go on a search engine like Google or whatever, and you say, you know, I want to look up good automobiles, and you know, boom, they show you this automobile, you see it, and you see that it is ranked high. That is ranked higher than all the other information about this vehicle, you're going to go and gravitate towards that. Now, the only reason why it's ranked higher above all the other information about that vehicle is because it's gotten a lot more hits. It's gotten a lot more eyes on it. But the best thing for you might be 10 lines down. But a lot of times what we'll do, we'll just see the first thing, we'll gravitate towards it, we'll buy it, and then when it breaks down on us and everything, you know, we get all mad and upset, but you should have done your homework. And I know that word is scary to a lot of people because of the word contained within homework called work. Work scares a lot of us. You ever seen scum in a pool of water, and someone drops a little drop of soap, liquid soap into that? What happens? That scum just scatters. That's what happens when people don't use critical thinking skills. The truth gets dropped in there, and they're like, "Nah, I don't want that truth." Now, here's a good one. Here's a good example right here. Another example of poor critical thinking. You support a candidate in an upcoming election. You visit an online news site affiliated with their political party and read an article that criticizes their opponent. The article claims that the opponent is inexperienced in politics. You accept this without evidence because it fits your preconceptions about the opponent. In this case, you failed to look critically at the claims of the article and check whether they were backed up with evidence because you were already inclined to believe them. And see, you have to be conditioned not to use critical thinking skills. You had to be conditioned for it. But what we are seeing today in our political world, science world, anywhere, is a lack of critical thinking. People say, well, people don't say, okay, I know I believed this for so many years. I believed this for decades, but let me see another viewpoint. When they see that other viewpoint, they're like, I'm not even gonna pay attention to it. I'm not gonna pay attention to it. And see, that is the essence of ignorance. When you circle the wagons mentally like that, it tends to make you ignorant. But people don't even realize it. But there are three types of people. There are three types of critical thinkers. You have the naive thinker. This is a person who doesn't care about or isn't aware of his or her thinking. You have the selfish critical thinker, the person who is good at thinking but unfair to others. And you have the fair-minded critical thinker, the person who is not only good at thinking but also fair to others. Each of us may sometimes be a naive thinker, sometimes a selfish critical thinker, and sometimes a fair-minded critical thinker. We can create a better world when we work together to be fair to everyone. We will never be perfect, and no one's saying you're going to be perfect or you know, you need to be perfect or anything like that, because you'll never be perfect. But we can always improve our thinking. The fair-minded critical thinkers work to improve their thinking whenever they can. They want things for themselves, but they aren't selfish. They want to help other people. They want to help make the world better for everyone. They are willing to give things up to help others when it makes sense to. They don't always have the right answers, but they work to improve their thinking and actions over time. Here's the voice of the fair-minded critical thinker. I think a lot. It helps me learn. It helps me figure things out. I want to understand the thinking of other people. In fact, I even want to understand myself and why I do things. Sometimes I do things I don't understand. It's not easy trying to understand everyone and everything. Lots of people say one thing and do another. You can't always believe what people say. You can't believe a lot of what you see on TV and the internet. People often say things they don't mean because they want things and are trying to please you. I would like to make the world a better place. I want to make it better for everyone, not just for me and my friends. To understand other people, you have to look at things as they do. You have to understand their situation and what you would feel like if you were them. If you have to put yourself in their shoes. I think about people who don't have what I have, like people who are starving or homeless. I want to help create a world where everyone has enough to eat and somewhere to live. It isn't easy to be fair. It's a lot easier to be selfish and just think about yourself. But the world isn't a nice place to be if people are selfish. That is the thoughts of a fair-minded critical thinker. Selfish critical thinker. Selfish critical thinkers are people who use their thinking to get what they want without considering how their actions might affect other people. They are good at thinking and they know it, but they are also very selfish. They may be greedy and unkind as well. Here's the voice of the selfish critical thinker. critical thinker. I think a lot. It helps me get what I want. I believe whatever I want to believe as long as it gets me what I want. I question anyone who asks me to do what I don't want to do. I figure out how to get other people to do what I want them to do. I even figure out how to avoid thinking if I want. Sometimes I say I can't when I know I could but don't want to. You can get what you want from people if you know how to manipulate them. Just the other night, I talked to my parents into buying me a really expensive new computer gadget I knew they couldn't really afford. But hey, they work, don't they? They can always make more money. I'm their kid, so they should give me what I want. It helps me to tell people what they want to hear. Of course, sometimes what they want to hear isn't true. But that doesn't matter because you only get into trouble when you tell people what they don't want to hear. You can always trick people if you know how. Guess what? You can even trick yourself if you know how. That's the thinking of a selfish critical thinker. Now, the naive thinker, and these are the people, now the second example and this example are the types of people we're dealing with today, for the most part. Naive thinkers don't see why it is important to work on their thinking. They don't want to be bothered with developing their minds. Like I said, they're mentally lazy. Here's the voice of the naive thinker. I don't need to think. I understand everything without thinking. I just do whatever occurs to me to do. I believe most of what I hear. I believe most of what I see on TV and what I read on the internet. I don't see why I should question the messages that come at me on TV shows and the internet. I don't think they affect me that much anyway. And I don't need to waste time. I don't need to waste a lot of time trying to figure things out. If I need to find the answer to a problem, I just ask someone else. Other people can figure things out better than me, so why should I try to figure things out for myself? It's a lot easier to say I can't than to do a lot of work. Like I said, intellectually lazy. A lot of times, trying to figure things out takes too much time, and sometimes it's just too hard for me, so why bother? I mostly go along with whatever people are doing. It's just easier that way. I do what I'm told, keep my mouth shut, and go along with whatever my friends decide. I don't like to make waves. Thinking gets you into trouble. And that's the naive thinker. Those are the people who are mentally, intellectually lazy. They don't want to do the work. They want someone to do the work for them, to do their thinking for them, to do their work for them. And the powers that be love a person who is a naive thinker because they can tell them anything and they won't be challenged on it. That's how it is with them, you know. And really, to be honest with you, the selfish critical thinker and the naive thinker, they're not critical thinkers. They probably don't use critical thinking at all, especially the naive one. The selfish thinker, they'll probably only use critical thinking when it can benefit them the most. And see, being a critical thinker, an actual critical thinker, the fair-minded thinker, is very important when it comes to making important decisions like who you're going to vote for, what job you're going to take, who you're going to marry, even what church you're going to go to, or which neighborhood you're going to live in. It's very important. It's not just something to be like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll pick it up whenever it's needed. No, our world should be, and once again, this might sound hard to some people, but our world, we should always use critical thinking when we interact with the world around us. Always. And is it, you know, and when you look, especially in our political world right now, when you look at the political situations that are going on right now, you see a lot of lack of critical thinking. Because like I said, you know, we got two candidates. We have a Donald Trump. We have a Kamala Harris. We have Donald Trump, who has been proven to get the work done, who's been proven to make a huge impact in our economy. And while I'm on this, let me just say this. There are a lot of people out there saying these are the two weakest candidates we can have. You know, America doesn't need either candidate. You're a moron. Because after what Donald Trump did, Donald Trump is probably the best president in my lifetime, even better than Reagan. And when you get up there and you say, this is the best America could come up with, Donald Trump is the best America could come up with. Because Donald Trump is not, he's not being pulled, his strings are not being pulled by political figures like Kamala is. And I don't say this out of bias against Kamala Harris. I have seen Kamala Harris on TV. I've seen her interacting. I've listened to her speaking. And basically, she has a pre-planned answer for everything, for every question that people throw at her. You can tell it. I mean, a three-year-old could probably tell it. Like, what is she saying? What is she talking about? Every time they ask her a question, I grew up as a middle-class child, and, you know, and I have my mama raised me and all. We don't want to hear that. That's not an answer to the question. I was watching her with Oprah Winfrey, watching her interview with Oprah Winfrey, and I'm sitting there, and she's just going all over the place. I saw the interview when she was questioned by those panelists for the National Association for Black Journalists. And she's all over the place. They ask her about gun control. Well, you come in my house, you're going to get shot. And then she says, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, my support group, they'll probably talk to me about that. But then she goes on to say, hey, we need to get rid of the assault weapons, the assault weapons. But once again, she and those who are supporting her don't realize that most of the crimes are not being committed by assault weapons like AR-15s and AK-47s. They're being committed by handguns. And she's sitting there like, I'm not coming for your guns. I'm not coming for your guns. And she even told Donald Trump, called him a liar for saying that. But that's the same thing that that Barack Obama said. He said, oh, we're not coming for your guns. Let me be clear. You don't have to worry about the guns. But they are coming for your guns. They are coming for your guns. I forgot who the congressman was who got up there and he said, yes, we're coming for your guns. We're coming to take your guns. Now, I didn't hear people like Kamala or Obama correct him on that and say, no, you shouldn't be saying that. No. They're coming for your guns. But they're not just going to do it in one fell swoop. They just want to wear down your rights a little bit at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, like when the ocean waves pound against the seashore, against that rock. Believe it or not, when those waves hit that rock, a little bit of it, you can't notice it. You won't notice it immediately, but over the course of time, you'll say, "Oh wow, that the ocean wore down that rock right there." It's like one day you'll look up and say, "Hey, wait a minute. Where's the rock?" That's what they want to do to your gun rights. They do want to, first they're going to go after the AK-47s and the AR-15s. And then they're going to go after your handguns. And she's talking about actually having people come into your house to see if you are following the law, to see if, you know, you don't have these guns that we're going to ban. Now, what's to stop them from saying, hey, you don't need no handgun either? What's to stop them to say, okay, you broke the law with the long guns. We'll go ahead and take your handguns too. What's to stop them from doing that? But a lot of people, they think it's a good thing. They think it's going to reduce crime. It's not. Look at Great Britain. Look at Australia. Common citizen cannot own a firearm, but they still have gun crimes. Someone explain that to me. And once again, people without critical thinking skills, they're not going to look this thing up. They're not going to look it up. They're not going to research it. I forgot the guy's name. His last name is Lott. He talks about the firearms. He has a website. I forgot that man's first name, but he talks about the statistics with firearms and what, you know, getting rid of guns is going to do and everything. You know, I got one of his books. I'm doing a show now. I'm not going to try to look for it now. And they talk about, oh, I believe in background checks. We have background checks. We have them. We already have background checks. Everyone, oh, I believe in background checks, as if background checks are not being instituted. They are. But they keep pushing this point. They keep pushing it. They keep pushing it. And folks, if you don't think about what these people are really, what they really want to do, you're going to look up one day and you're going to be like, oh, we don't have guns. We can't protect ourselves. And the only people, I mean, people mention this ad nauseum. The only people who are going to have the guns are the criminals. Those are only people who are going to have the guns, because the criminal's not going to be like, oh, man, dog. Man, I was going to have a shootout tonight, and the government came in and took my gun. I can't get Ray Ray for what he said about my girlfriend the other day. Doggone it. Oh, man, this is a gun-free zone. I can't go in here and shoot up people like I wanted to. Man. Nah, them gun-free zones is like scaring ants away from a picnic by throwing sugar on the ground. Them rascals see a gun-free zone, they're like, oh, okay. So I have a very low risk. If I want to carry out my crime, no one's gonna have a gun to stop me. Who's going to stop me? I got the gun. I got the bullets. Once again, folks, you got to think critically with this. See the way the news media feeds it to you, they're like, oh, if we get rid of guns, we'll get rid of crime. And everyone's sitting there like, yeah, get rid of crime. But nobody sits there and thinks, oh, wait a minute. Let's look at this thing. First of all, why did they put this in the Bill of Rights in the Second Amendment, saying that a person wanting to own a firearm, that right shall not be infringed? Why is that in the Constitution? Let's look into this thing. But you know what? The media has a counter for that, too. They say, well, back then they were talking about muskets and cannons. They didn't specify what kind of gun you could use in defense of yourself. They didn't specify that. All it says is, the right to own a firearm shall not be infringed. Now, what does that mean? There's no caveat there. There's no but. It says what it says. And boy, don't even talk to Kamala Harris about the economy. Oh, gosh. Don't even talk to her about the economy. Well, you know, groceries are high, yeah. Gas is high, yeah. And we need to put into place things that will stop that. Okay, Kamala, you're not answering the question. Can you tell us specifically what you're going to do to reduce the prices? Well, I grew up in a mid-range home. I grew up in a mid-range. I grew up in a middle-class home, and my mama had to take care of me, and I had another lady that I called my second mama, and she did this. And people love their lawns, don't they? They go out there, they cut the Kamala, Earth to Kamala, come on down. You know, we're not ready for you to levitate up into that spaceship of yours yet, okay? Come back down to Earth. What are you going to do to improve the economy? This is why she doesn't do a lot of interviews. That's why she doesn't do a lot of interviews. And I don't think it's I don't think she's doing it individually. I think it's people who are pulling her strings, telling her, Kamala, we're going to reduce the interviews. We don't want people to understand what our real agenda really is. We don't want them to understand what, you know, just give them some roundabout answer. And everywhere she goes, she gives the same answer. Same answer. And then she goes up saying, hey, I'm a woman. I was the first woman in my position, first woman of color. And it lets you know a lot of people don't use critical thinking skills because basically they're voting for Kamala Harris for three reasons. She's a woman. She's a woman of color. She's not a black woman. She's a woman of color. And she's a liberal. Those are the reasons why people want to vote for her. And she's sitting up here talking about how she's going to improve the economy. Well, Kamala, you have 3.5 years. When are we going to see the turnaround? When are we going to see this? Now I know their little tactics. I know their little tactics. They're already talking about they created 16 million jobs, but those were jobs that were lost during COVID. Those are recovery jobs. And you all notice the gas prices have gone down. They've gone down pretty significantly. Here in Durham, I've seen a couple of gas stations that are below $3 a gallon. And I told this to my wife about a year ago. I said, when it comes time for the election, for the presidential election, all of a sudden you're going to see the gas prices going down because they're going to get up there and they're going to say, hey, we reduce gas prices. But here in Durham, the gas prices got as high as $4.60. Matter of fact, I was making a personal prediction. It looks like I'm wrong, but I thought the gas prices were going to get above $4.70. Now, I was wrong on that prediction, but the gas price is starting to go down, and if they win the election, they can say, hey, we reduce gas prices. But if they win the election, gas prices are going to start to creep up again. And people are not going to sit there and say, wait a minute. Gas prices were just a little bit above $2 a gallon when Donald Trump became president or when Donald Trump left the presidency. Not long after that, they shot up to past $4. In some places, I think they were paying like $7 a gallon for gas. Nobody's going to look at that and say, wait a minute. After Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got into office, the gas prices shot up. And now they're coming down again. What's going on here? You know that Kamala Harris is actually blaming Donald Trump for the border crisis. She is actually blaming, she was talking about some bill that they had think it was a 1,000-page bill that would have put 1,500 new agents at the border to help stop the flow of immigrants coming across our border. She blamed Donald Trump for that. She said Donald Trump said he wouldn't sign the bill. Can someone tell me what Donald Trump proposed to do and he was in the midst of doing before he left the presidency? He was building a wall. He was building a wall down there. And he didn't need a bill to sign to put that wall up. But everything that is going wrong with the economy or with this country and everything, they shift the blame to the previous administration. And that noise you all just heard in the background, that's my wife sneezing. So, but yeah, this is what they do. They go back, they say, well, oh, no, the job, oh man, the jobs are doing good. You know, it's the previous administration's fault. That's why the gas prices were high. That's why unemployment was so high. That's why the grocery prices are so high right now, because it was Donald Trump. They blamed Donald Trump for those 13 Marines getting killed at that air base in Afghanistan. They blamed him for that. Donald Trump was trying to employ a strategic exit from Afghanistan. But Joe Biden came in there and said, nah, send them back. Come on. Listen. And not only that, left our military equipment over in Afghanistan. And now they walking around parading our military equipment. And you never know what they're doing with that. They might be selling that equipment to the highest bidder, like China or Russia. But they wanted to blame Trump for it. It was Trump's fault. How was it Trump's fault, though? How was it his fault? Folks, man, I tell you, sometimes I can run off at the mouth, and this first hour has gotten away from me. You all, I'm going to go ahead, do the advertisements, and when I come back, we will continue the show. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Ben's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Ben Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Welcome back to the show. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And if you're in the chat room, you'll notice I put up my email, vibroman@gmail.com. If you have any comments or complaints or questions or whatever, just shoot me an email at that link right there, and I will do my best to get back with you and answer your questions and your comments and compliments or whatever to the best of my ability. But before the break, I was basically talking about critical thinking and why it is important and why we need to think critically about the world around us. This is the reason why I have arrived at the conclusions that I have when I come on this show, Black by Color Only. You know, this is why I think the way I do, because I've employed a little bit of critical thinking. I may not have always been an expert at critical thinking or anything like that, but I employed a little bit of it, and this is the reason why I think the way I do. You know, like I tell people, you know, back in 1984 when Ronald Reagan was up for re-election, you know, Jesse Jackson was trying to gain the favor of the Democrats. That's basically what he's doing. But he was trying to get the Democratic nomination for president of the United States. And in my classroom, it was a 10th grade literature class. Our teacher decided to hold a mock election to see, you know, who would vote for who and whatever and everything like that. And during that time, you know, growing up, I was told that Reagan was bad. You know, Reagan's bad. You know, he's making the rich richer and the poor poorer. Once again, people didn't use critical thinking. And I know I'm saying critical thinking redundantly and everything, but I just want to drive this home. You know, I didn't use critical thinking. A lot of us didn't use critical thinking when it came up to the statement when they said, oh, Reagan's just making the rich richer and the poor poorer. But they wouldn't tell you how he was doing that. But, you know, we believe that. And back then, I didn't know anything about politics. I couldn't tell you the difference between a Democrat or a Republican. I couldn't tell you jack. And I was in the 10th grade then. But I also had a little inkling of common sense to realize most of the people in my class were black. And I knew that they were going to vote for Jesse Jackson. I was like, I can't vote for Jesse Jackson because he's got to stand for something. I'm not just going to vote for somebody because he's black. And I chose Walter Mondale, which was a bad candidate. Don't chew me out. Don't crucify me or anything like that. Like I said, I didn't know anything about politics back then. But I had a little modicum of common sense to realize I'm not going to vote for Jesse Jackson simply because he's black. And a lot of the students, the black students in that class, they voted for Jesse Jackson. And I can guarantee you, they only voted for him because he was black. And not just because he was black, but he was a black liberal, and their parents probably spoke well about him. My parents spoke well about Jesse Jackson, but I was like, no, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm going to vote for him for how is him being black going to solve our problems? How is him being black going to help our economy? How is him being black going to solve the crime problem? And that's how a lot of black people think. This person's black. And, you know, right now, you know, they're talking about Kamala Harris being a black woman, which she is not a black woman. But they think, oh, yeah, we vote for her and it's going to make our problems go away. They made that same mistake with Barack Obama. And once again, they're not thinking. We thought Barack Obama was a coming of the Messiah. We thought when Barack Obama came into office, our racist days were going to come to an end. There would be no more race, but we are still complaining about racism. And they're looking at Kamala, they're doing Kamala the same way. They're looking at her saying, oh, she's a black woman. And that's why I'm going to vote for her. I'm not going to vote for Trump because Trump is a bully. He's a bully. He's mean tweets, and he gets in people's faces. I mean, isn't that the type of president you want? Someone who's going to stand toe-to-toe with you and say, okay, I got a line drawn in this sand, and I don't want you to step over that line. You step over that line, I'm going to put a soup bone to your cranium. Isn't that the kind of president you want? Or you just want a president to be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll let you do whatever. But people don't think because they're so caught up in Madam Vice President and her becoming president. And they think she's going to be a great president simply because she is who she is. But her being a black woman is not going to help the economy. Folks, open your eyes. It's been 3.5 years. Has the Biden administration, which she is a part of, have they improved the economy? No, they haven't. Have they improved crime in this country? No, they haven't. They want to push abortion and transgender rights on you, but they're not doing anything. They haven't done anything. And she's up here talking about, I'm going to fix these problems. You had 3.5 years to fix them. And a lot of people, they, once again, they're so caught up in her skin color and her gender. Now, ask Oprah why she didn't invite Donald Trump to her interview. Ask her. I remember back about 20-something years ago, Donald Trump said if he ever became president, he would like Oprah Winfrey to be the vice president. Of course, all that changed when he came down that escalator and he decided to run as a Republican. But ask Oprah Winfrey, how come you didn't invite Donald Trump? Because Oprah Winfrey, even though she's probably the richest woman in this country, she's in admiration of Kamala Harris because she's a black woman. Just like she was in admiration of Barack Obama because he was a supposed black man. Crying and, you know, oh. But the reason why a Kamala Harris, who does not qualify to be president of the United States for many different reasons, but she does not have the mentality to run this country. She doesn't have the intellect to run this country. All she does, she knows wherever she goes, she speaks and people just going to fall out. That's all it's about. And she thinks she's going to have a path, a clear path to the presidency. And folks, if you allow the gray matter in your brain to fire itself up, you will realize that this woman should not be president at all. Now, my wife back here, I ain't even invited my wife on this show, and she's back here giving me advice, telling me what to say. But she said, my wife was back here saying that Hillary Clinton is going to be part of that of the cabinet, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens too. I think the Clintons and the Obamas are really pulling the strings here. I really do. And I don't care what the fruit bats say. You all, that's the fruit bat signal. Those of you all been on this show, you know what that means. That means that if you're on the phone and you're going to come in here with ad hominem attacks and character assassinations, excessive profanity, things of that sort, gaslighting, and you feel like you want to get your use those things to get your point across, let me tell you right now, hang up now, because I will be glad to oblige you. I'll be happy to oblige you, okay? We're adults here, okay? We can carry on a conversation. And so we don't need anybody coming in here with their little kindergarten recess sand slinging in the sandbox type of rhetoric, okay? So having said all that, let me go to the phone.
Vincent, what's going on, Vincent?
Oh, hello, coach. Say again.
How's everything?
Oh, everything is good. Going good.
Yeah. You know, Vincent, the very first thing, if I was you, when you talk about Kamala Harris, is to make mention that she is not a U.S. citizen.
Yep.
She's not a 14th Amendment citizen. Her parents weren't 14th Amendment citizens. And she's not. And
that's one of the reasons she should be president.
That's the biggest reason. And she's not an Article II eligible to be president as being natural born. Natural born is when you, a child, is the product of two American citizens. That's under the total jurisdiction of the United States. Not partially. You know what partial jurisdiction is, don't you? When you're in this country. You know what that is?
Partial jurisdiction? No.
When you drive down the street, you follow what? Speed limits, right?
The law. Yeah.
Yeah, when you walk across, you're supposed to walk across in crosswalks. When you go into a public building, you're not supposed to carry what? Your weapons.
That's right.
Jurisdiction. Total jurisdiction is from A to Z. You're under the jurisdiction of this country, as stipulated by the 14th Amendment. And there's about six court cases that span from 1814 to 1939 that speak on natural born. 14th Amendment doesn't speak on natural born. Those judges,
that's true.
And I think it's about 17 of them, I'm not sure, that span that total distance, that's both duration, and they gave their opinion in court cases on the issue of natural born. Kamala Harris does not meet it. Her parents didn't meet it, and I don't know why her mother see, her mother should have known better. They talk about how smart she was, being a cancer researcher, and you know she died from cancer. She should have known.
Yep.
The people that advised them, like Matthew Rothschild, was an advisor to Kamala Harris' mother. He should have known. So now, if she's elected president, is everything that come out of her administration, is it valid, being that she's not a valid citizen? You would think not. You would think not. She called you up to go to fight in a war. Would you go?
I mean, really, if she can be, why should I go fight a war? I mean, really.
She's not legitimate where she's at. She's not black, like you said. A mother said it.
Yep.
In an article on the woman that advised Kamala Harris, emailed you that article. I think I emailed you an email with a whole lot of stuff in it.
I think you sent me a bunch of text messages.
Her mother said that she was brought up thinking black, assigned to be black, because it's something that goes on in the United States.
Yep.
If you're not paper cup white, then you black.
Yeah.
If you pour chocolate milk in the paper cup and pour it out, the rim is not white no more. So you black. Go ahead.
So Bianchi, I got a question to ask you. I got a serious question to ask you. How did you come to these conclusions?
How did I go to be what?
How did you come to these conclusions?
Kamala Harris, or what? My way of thinking.
You're kind of answering the question along the line. I'm trying to lead you on to an answer.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Benson. I think I know where you're going, but let me tell you something. You don't know what you're going to do before you die.
That's right.
And you know how I feel about spirituality, but I'm going to tell you another thing. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something. It is something out there, and when I say out there, it's not in my house, it's out there, that caused the things that you experience in your way to happen. It's something. And does it fall along the lines of good and evil? Yes, it does. The devil is running wild, brother.
Yeah.
He's running wild. He can smell victory, and he's going full speed toward it.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to stop is not you going to be put into oblivion. You got to stop it.
That's right.
With good.
And folks, just in case you all are wondering what I was hoping the answer would be, Bianchi has arrived at his conclusions because he uses, what was I talking about today again?
Critical thinking.
That's what he used to come to his conclusion. You know, he didn't sit there and just listen to people saying one thing and just accepted their word and everything. See, most people who are listening to this show, and even your humble host here, doesn't have the knowledge that he has on the laws in this country, you know. And now I know I can research and find those laws and whatever. See, that's the thing about me. Whatever I don't know, I'm willing to research it and look it up, you know. And for whatever reason, I don't have the knowledge that Bianchi has. But understand that Bianchi arrived at his conclusions based on critical thinking. And that is what is so needed in this world today, is people taking time to bring up that common sense that lies within all of us, so that it can lead to us thinking critically so we can come to a better conclusion instead of just accepting people's word for it. That's why I tell people I don't take what the media says at face value. I say, okay, I can hear what the media said. I mean, even when you're watching a commercial, like you watch a commercial and they're telling you brand A is better than brand X, you know, brand A, you know, gets rid of all the stains and whatever and keeps them from coming on your clothes, but brand X doesn't do as good a job. But if you go out there and you look, you compare brand A and brand X in your home and you find out, wait a minute, I like brand X better. Brand X seems to be doing the job better than brand A. I don't know what they're talking about. See, then you thought critically, you know, like I use Dawn dishwashing detergent because it cuts the grease. I saw the commercial and they said that, but when I wash my dishes, I understand, hey, wait a minute, this commercial was telling the truth. And a lot of times, you know, if we would just look at false advertising, that's basically what we're getting when we listen to the news media, a lot of false advertising. And if we would use that principle of critical thinking into, you know, into the information we get, like I said earlier, critical thinking is the filter. It filters out all the nasty stuff out of the water, you know, instead of you just taking the water at full bore with all the garbage and the viruses and the bacteria in it. You know, you're going to get sick, but you need a filter on your information. And that's what critical thinking does. Let me get this other caller. I got another caller here. Let me bring this caller on. I don't know why I take it. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, it's good to have you back on and be back on with you two again for a little bit of rencontre. Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, man. We missed you last week because I finally came back last week, but I'm still kicking.
Well, how's you and your significant other's health doing, by the way?
Vincent, there is a critical thinker, too, now.
Well, I do my best.
Yeah.
And you helping me with that, Bianca. And together, we will create generations of critical thinkers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But look here, man. You know, I hope you and your significant other, your health is okay. You doing well?
Yeah, we're doing real good. It was just I had two of my teeth removed, and I was suffering from the after effects. I'm still suffering a little bit right now, but it wasn't as bad as it was earlier this year. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to take me some time and just get some rest and everything, get my thoughts together. I had something mental going on up there. Don't worry, you're not going to hear about Vincent Brown shooting up Durham with a machine gun or anything like that. It ain't nothing like that. But, you know, got some time, got some mental rest, got some, you know, and so I'm ready. I'm back in the fight.
Look, man, we all know what it is, Vince. Great minds need sabbaticals from time to time. This is a characteristic of those who think deeply. So I should have expected you to have taken one long before this. So good for you. But anyway, what I'd like to bring a little bit of levity into this subject before I get serious. And I'd like to bring this bit of levity courtesy of a gentleman named Matt Walsh. He's the one that did What is a Woman? Now he's got this movie out called Am I a Racist? They are both out freaking standing. I mean, you ain't seen them, you got to see both of them. Anyway, and Matt Walsh, thanks to him, he taught me how to speak like Kamala Harris. Now, I still don't know what the hell this woman is saying, but I think it's kind of important to know how she speaks in order to show other people how absurd she is. And get this, this is how you speak like him. This is an example of what you can use, thanks to Matt Walsh again, how to speak like Kamala Harris. Here's what he says. He says, if you want to speak like Kamala Harris in terms of how you speak and the language you use and the sentence you utter and articulate, it's important to always use 10 words when one would suffice and to never, in terms of ending sentences, actually end your sentence, but instead continue and proceed and even carry on in terms of how you continue so that you won't reach the end of your sentence and be expected, even you might say encouraged, urged to begin a new sentence, when in fact, in terms of saying things, you actually have nothing to say at all, so you continue saying words, terms, and phrases so no one notices. Hear me on this. Let me be absolutely clear. No one notices how stupid in terms of intelligence you actually are. You see how you can speak like Kamala Harris? See how easy it is?
Oh, what? Yeah.
Just keep saying things that don't mean anything and say, repeat them endlessly. And it's like you're trying to do a two-page book report and you only got 1 1/4 pages and you got to figure out how to pad it into 2 pages. That's the way she is.
Yeah.
And I'm watching her at a town hall on Oprah Winfrey, man. I'm watching her at a town hall on Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah Winfrey is asking a question about the border. And she's starting to ramble. And Oprah Winfrey realizes what a jerk she sounds, how stupid she sounds. So she tries to throw a lifeline. Well, but in the end, what will your policy on the border be? Trying to wake, hey, Madam Vice President, you better wake up. You ain't answering the question. This is an important question people want to answer. What did she do? She doubles down on the rambling. She wouldn't accept the lifeline. She wouldn't pull herself to shore and pull herself to safety. If Oprah Winfrey can't save you, nobody can. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
She's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in public America and such a high office. She's absolutely pathetic. But you know what's even worse? Did you see that woman get up there and say what she said about guns and about the gun control and what she was going to do when you're in the sanctity of your locked home, legally owning a gun? Nothing is going to keep us from walking into your house and making sure you're behaving responsibly. She didn't mention a word about the Fourth Amendment or search warrants or anything. She just said your legal gun in the sanctity of a locked home is subject to an arbitrary search by our government. Now, that time, she was attorney general. She was district attorney in San Francisco. So the city of San Francisco just busted your house and looked to see how well you take care of your guns. Not a warrant, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a warrant to go to anybody's house absent exigent circumstances. You ain't got no exigent circumstances. You always have to get a warrant every single time. I swear to God, man, I had never seen nothing like this dame, ever. And finally, what Pianki was saying about the 14th Amendment is so true. There's only two essential things you need to remember about this situation with natural born citizens in the present. Only two things, really. Number one, the 14th Amendment don't have anything whatsoever, any way, shape, form, fashion, or any inkling, not even a shading, of eligibility to be president. It is completely irrelevant as that. It simply was to allow newly freed slaves to be citizens, and those people who are lawfully, legally, permanent resident in the United States. That's all it was meant to do. Nothing else. It ain't got nothing to do with Article 2 eligibility or anything. So just shun it aside. Whenever you hear that, you listen to somebody who doesn't know or is trying to pettifog the issue. Now, once you get that argument out of the way, because it doesn't refer to it, it doesn't modify it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, if you want to know what it really means, you've got to look to 1789 when they ratified Article 2. Because whatever that meaning is, it is fixed from that time. So you look at what people of that time meant when they used the term natural-born citizen. And therein you will find the purpose of natural-born citizen and why it's in the Constitution. Because it was meant to minimize the likelihood of undue foreign influence on the office of president, particularly from a father who owes allegiance to a foreign sovereign. That's why they put it there. And that is the meaning. From 1789 until they modified by amendment, nothing else can change that meaning. So don't let them bamboozle you.
So, Pianki, would you say that Sarge is using critical thinking right now?
Sarge is a blessing, I tell you that. And here's another thing, too. Tulsi Gabbard can't be president. Tulsi Gabbard can't be president. Bobby Jindal can't be president. because they don't meet the eligibility. And that is important. I mean, just like Kamala Harris talked about disregarding the Fourth Amendment, so she just emboldened police officers to just knock on your door and barge in, to just start going and rambling through your car and your trunk without your – she just emboldened that type of activity, just like Maxine Waters emboldened the activity of criminal – of people brutalizing other folks, other citizens. That's how it started. And you got to remember that when you speak all about her. And when you – if you ever be in her presence, you got to remind her of that fact too.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You know what, Vince?
You know what's kind of shocking, Vince? And like me, Pianki was alluding it to a minute ago. I didn't allude to it as much as he did, but I allude to it directly now. If Kamala Harris's parents are not deemed to be under the total jurisdiction of the United States by virtue of their status as sojourners, as here on an education visa and a tourist visa, I mean a work visa. Father was here on a education visa, and her mother was here on a work visa. So that means that they were temporary, so they were not permanently resident, which is what seems to be a requirement of the 14th Amendment. In fact, it is. They were here on a temporary, just like a tourist visa, pretty much. Maybe a gradation higher, but not much more than that. And if that is true, and an Article 3 court was defined that she was, her parents were not subject to the total jurisdiction of the United States. Remember, that's what the authors of the amendment said it had to be. They were very specific in their arguments on the debate on the congressional floor. Not partial, but total jurisdiction of the United States. If that is true, then she's not even a 14th Amendment citizen. She is an illegal alien right now. Now, I know that's going to be tough to get in the court, but I'm telling you, if you're going to look at strictly the way you interpret the law, because it ain't a technicality, it is a matter of constitution and an immigration law. Remember, people on visas are not permanent residents. They're not. You don't have permanent residence. They expire. Visas always expire. They have an expiration date. So it's not possible to be a permanent resident if you're here on a visa. It's not possible.
That's right.
It's not possible. So remember, if her parents were not subject to the total jurisdiction of the United States in the meaning of the 14th Amendment, she is an illegal alien. She's not even a citizen of any type. Now think of the implications of that.
I mean, for real. For real.
Let's not even talk about Article 2 eligibility. We're talking about basic citizenship.
And getting back to her talking about, you know, they can just walk into your home and just go through your stuff. You know, she said, we're going to walk into your home and see if you're following the law. Well, what's to stop them from taking away any gun that you have? You know, the long rifles, they might say, oh, yeah, let's take that handgun, too. You know, we'll just take that, you know. I mean, a lot of us don't realize how much of a slippery slope this really is, you know. And just like you all said, and pushed by someone who shouldn't even be president because of her immigration status and I mean, her intellect level it remains to be questioned. I'm telling you.
Well, actually, to tell the truth, you know, her parents were legally in the country when she was born. So she was born legally in the country. I mean, there's nothing that says a person who's here on a tourist visa cannot have a child legally in the country. There's nothing in the law. There's nothing that says that. That's legal. The question is, what is then the citizenship of the child? Well, I'll tell you what it is. She was born a citizen of Jamaica and India. That's her citizenship. Not United States citizenship if her parents were not subject to total jurisdiction of the United States. That means she's a Jamaican citizen and an Indian citizen under both of those countries' constitutions. That's the citizenship, not United States citizenship. Now, I know this all sounds crazy and radical, people, but I wish you would be logical, linear, and reasoning in your thinking rather than emotional. You will understand what all makes sense. But you know what's even worse? Another thing is maybe even worse, what she said to Oprah Winfrey at that town hall meeting. She said, we don't need to have weapons of war in our homes. And then she said that, there's something about violence not being American or whatever. Does this dummy, maybe because she's an illegal alien, she's never heard of April 19th, 1775. The country was born in an act of violence. On April 19th, 1775, the British Redcoats came to Lexington Concord to seize the muskets, the powder, the shot, and the cannons. That's why they came there. They were going to disarm the militia. The militia now, a body of citizens organized for military purposes. That's what a militia is. And they were coming there to disarm them so they could not resist the crown. And they came there with that intention. And the citizen militia of that day resisted the authority of the British crown with firearms. They killed 79 British soldiers that day. 40-something colonialists were killed, and about 179 or so were wounded. They had a running gun battle from Lexington Concord all the way back to Boston, where they chased the Redcoats back.
Sir.
So the country was literally born in an act of violence, and why? Because it was an attempt to stop tyranny. That's why. Tyranny. Now, I know that many people are very uncomfortable talking that thing, but that's a historical truth. That is not radicalism. I'm merely citing the historical facts of what happened April 9th. And we celebrate April 19th, 1775, because it led to, guess what? Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. It directly led to that. So when you hear people Kamala Harris say military weapons of war have no place, well, that's the very purpose of the Second Amendment, to enable you to be able to wage war against whatever enemy of the United States and a domestic tranquility that you have to. As part of the citizen militia that is necessary to secure the free states, because that's what it says, a well-regulated militia.
Yep.
Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They're missing the whole point of the objective clause and the subjective clause taken together.
So true.
And Kamala Harris, you couldn't expect her to understand that. She is a statist, a tyrannist, and an enemy alien, I believe. She would never understand it. She never will. And she certainly won't accept it, even if she understands it.
Oh, yeah. But I got a question to ask you and Pianki. Do you all know what kind of dressing Kamala Harris uses on her word salads? You know, is it French Catalina, Thousand Island?
I don't know what she uses, man, but maybe it's a jumble of salads dressings. Maybe she jumbles all the salad dressing together, too, like it doesn't work.
Because them salads must be tasty, man, because she uses them all the time. I mean,
I swear to God, man, I never heard anything quite like her. I mean, she's a piece of work, man. She just throws words at concepts in search of a thought. That's what she does. She's trying to bring a thought out of some concept she doesn't really understand thoroughly. She just throws a bunch of words at it, hoping some of them will stick.
Yeah, it's a type of filibuster. That's basically what she's doing. She's doing just a filibuster, water is wet, and if you didn't touch it, it wouldn't be wet, but, you know, it's wet because it flows. Kamala, what are you talking about?
hey, you know what, Vince? Maybe it would help if she would accompany the word salads with some Venn diagrams. You thinking maybe that might help a little bit?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, let's go all in on Kamala if we're going to start talking about it. Let's go all in, right?
Yeah, we might as well add that in.
Maybe some yellow school bus, too, while we're sitting in a yellow school bus.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Real short school bus at that. And I'm not so sure, and I'm not sitting here just, you know, trying to make fun of Kamala or anything like that, but I'm not sure, but I'm thinking she is suffering the same kind of cognitive decline that Joe Biden is. And it's not as advanced as his, you know, but I'm thinking we're starting to see the beginning stages of that. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, being drunk doesn't help. If you lay off the booze, you might not be so bad.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, man, if I saw that woman talking away to me, I made a traffic stop on her. I'd call her out and give her a field sobriety test, and I'd take my fingers and give her a horizontal gaze and Nostradamus test. Because I believe she's drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I see her, I believe she's drunk. If she was to come up, I swear to God, on a traffic stop, and she'd be slurring her words the way she does a lot of times, and be kind of giddy and all that other stuff, I would haul her out and give her a field sobriety test. I'm not kidding. And
yes,
you know, and by the way, how'd you like that little statement when she gets up there and she says, me and my hubby are gun owners too? I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah.
Guns for me and not for thee, because I'm an elitist. I know better than you how to secure my gun responsibly and handle my gun. Besides, you're a little peasant. You can't understand the complexities of owning guns. You don't know the laws on using deadly force. You don't know how to properly employ it or zero it or aim it well or anything like that. We do. We're the elite. You don't need to have those weapons of war in your house.
I wonder if she even owns a gun, really. I'm serious.
She probably does. No, she's an elitist. She probably does. Many of them do.
Mm.
They just don't think you should.
Mm. I tell you. Cause
I believe she probably does.
Yeah. I'm like, does she even know what she's talking about? I mean, for real, you know, does... And I really do think that her questions are manufactured for someone's feeding the answers to her, and this is why she can't come up with a straight answer. And it's frustrating watching her answer a question like with the National Association for Black Journalists. I'm sitting there like, Kamala, you didn't even answer the question, and everyone's sitting there like, they're just taking it in like, man, she's really talking deep. And did you see how she just waved them off when she walked off the stage, you know? And the three panelists were sitting there like, okay, I guess that's it then. Okay, how you doing? You want to have dinner tonight, you know? I mean, she just waved them off and just walked on off the stage. I was like, something is wrong with this woman. It's something, you know, I think she might have one too many fruit bats in her belfry or something like that, so...
No, I think she's mostly drunk half the time. That explains a great deal of it. Besides the fact, she really isn't that bright. She's at best of average intelligence, maybe even slightly below. She's not that bright.
Yeah.
And she's drunk. So the two, that's a fatal combination, the two mixed together. And she's in over her head. She's the Peter Principle personified. She is the exemplar of the Peter Principle.
Man, I tell you, but you might have something there about her drinking, because she has this deer in the headlights look sometimes when they ask her questions, and it's like she's just staring off into space or something like that. And, you know, and this is what frustrates me about people who support her. You know, they're not even taking into account, you know, I mean, if they didn't vet Joe Biden, they're definitely not going to vote vet Kamala Harris, because it's like you all don't see this here. She's not even answering the questions, but people are like, no, I'm still vote for her anyway. I'm still going to vote for her, you know. I mean, and like I said earlier in the show, I think people need to stop. I think people need to stop it with the you know, America doesn't need these two candidates. Is this the best we can do? Donald Trump is the best president we've had in my lifetime. Donald Trump is getting the job done. He got the job done. And all these lies about him destroying democracy and all that and everything. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But, you know, I hear people saying, oh, these are two of the weakest candidates ever. And I'm listening to them, and I'm like, do you all know what Donald Trump did the previous 4 years, you know, when he was in office for 4 years? You know, and he did a lot of things that no president has accomplished before him. And I think Donald Trump is the best candidate we can come up with right now, because I will be straight up and honest. If Donald Trump wins this election, and after, you know, his 4 years is over, who are we going to have to replace him?
Well, look, Vince, I mean, they're harping the fact that Kamala Harris is so bloody qualified and all. I mean, she's got all these qualified, state attorney general, senator, vice president. Well, let's see.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was actually president of the United States for 4 years. By every objective
exactly.
measurement of measuring the success of a president, he did a pretty good job. At the very least, a reasonably good job. But by every objective measurement, you know, take aside what you think about his personality, in his performance, the economy, foreign relations, trade circumstances, getting treaties accomplished, signing bills, everything the president does, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. And can you imagine Kamala having to face up to President Putin?
He wants to pretend that he actually wasn't president. He didn't do anything before. They actually want to try to make us believe it. You can't have better qualifications as president than to have a largely four-year successful run as president. Nobody is better qualified than that. That is in and of itself a qualification that supersedes all the others.
Wait a minute. Something is wrong here. Okay, let me do this. Did I cut you off?
Plus Donald Trump. No, I did. I hung up by mistake. Donald Trump is a U.S. citizen.
His natural born U.S. citizen.
His lineage going all the way back in the 1800s. They were U.S. citizens. His mother gave up her citizenship and took on that of the United States. So Kamala Harris can't speak to him.
Before he was born, she naturalized and swore off allegiance to Scotland and swore allegiance to the United States. Now, you can't get no much more of a citizen than that.
That's right. That's right. That is so true.
And we got the record, so ain't nobody going to say that, you know, no, we got the record from that era of her naturalization.
Yeah.
So she was a citizen when he was born. His father was a natural-born citizen. That makes him a natural-born citizen.
That's right. And if I'm correct, I think Donald Trump still has some land in Scotland, if I'm correct. I think he was trying to build a golf course or something up there.
I'm sure he does that. That's where the game originated. It was in Scotland, if I'm not mistaken.
Because I saw a documentary where people were kind of ticked off because Donald Trump wanted to build a golf course in Scotland somewhere. You know, I mean, maybe that's his.
We've got to find a way to make that illegal. There's got to be something illegal about that. You know, they'll find it. If there's a way they can claim what he's doing is illegal, these people will do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that and, and everything. But,
Think about it. You can make a criminal case out of telling people to go to the Capitol and peacefully protest your grievances. You can make a criminal case out of anything.
Oh, yeah.
They literally made a criminal case out of that. They said he incited an insurrection by telling them to go to the Capitol and peacefully protest. They literally said that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
they made a federal case out of it, too, I might add.
They're still convicting people for that case. I just saw where they convicted another person and put him in jail for, I think, 20 years, if I'm correct. Just the other day, I think about 2 or 3 days ago, they convicted somebody else and had him in prison for, I think it's 20 years. But if you all know that, you know, just correct me on that.
Vince, remember what Kamala Harris just said the other day to Oprah? If you break into my house, I'm going to shoot you. I have my staff cleaning up. If you break into the United States, we'll give you credit cards, tickets, and the city of your choice. Just ask for it. Oh, and by the way, temporary protective status that can last anywhere from 8 to 11 years. That's what you get for breaking into our house called the United States. But you break into Kamala Harris' house, you get blown away. Ain't that a pip?
Yeah. Yeah.
I swear to God, man, this is like some Saturday Night Live skit or Babylon Bee article writ large in life. Everything about the Democrats, their candidates, the ridiculous, absurd campaign, everything about it smacks of something of a Twilight Zone parody.
Yeah, yeah. And I was listening to someone on YouTube the other day. He's a Facebook friend. And I just want to get this confirmed with you guys. Are they giving the immigrants like $15,000 to you know, like start a business get a home, start a business, things like that?
I think some states are. Some states are.
You
know, the federal government gives them plane tickets. I mean, plane tickets cost money. We know they give them a plane ticket. We know they make arrangements for them when they get to wherever their destination is going with the either the NGOs are paying part of the freight or where they're going to is paying part of the freight. We know the city's providing housing for them. That's not free. We know the cities where they go providing housing and whatnot for them. We know when all those 20,000 Haitians were given temporary protected status, they were brought to Springfield. Yeah. That costs money. They were imported there. They were shipped there. Then how are they driving around all these cars all of a sudden? Where are they getting the money for all these cars? They come from the poorest country in the hemisphere, and they come over and they got all these cars. I guess from the works they're supposed to be doing to revitalize the town. Isn't that what Kamala Harris or somebody, some Democrat said that they came to town, now they're revitalizing it with their temporary protective status that they were given by the Biden administration?
Yeah, they revitalized.
So, it depends on where you're going and what these bennies are. You know, some states are giving them stuff. Some states are, you know, giving them free this, free that. The federal government is a little harder to figure out, but there's no doubt the federal government is spending millions and hundreds of millions on them to get them to where they go, to give them a temporary status, to give them temporary lodging until wherever they get permanent lodging. There's no doubt that it's costing us money.
Yeah. Yeah, and because the reason why I asked that, because I heard that there are veterans who fought in wars and whatever, they're getting like $23 of food stamps every month, and these guys are getting like $15,000.
They're old news.
It's great.
They matter? Really... You kidding? We got a new dance partner. We don't need any damn veterans. We got to get ready for the new set of veterans that are going to have them fighting over there in Ukraine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know they're going
to. Old veterans going to have to get out of the way.
Yeah. Because now the old veterans are, you know, excuse my expression, they're a liability now, you know. And I say excuse my expression because I know you're your former military.
Yeah, a lot of them are patriots too. Yeah, a lot of them are patriots. That's really a liability.
Yeah,
we definitely got to be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Well, don't need none of us anyway.
Well, guys, it has been great, man. These 2 hours just go by so fast. Sometimes I wish I could stay on here like 6 hours. You know, just to because the interaction and the amount of information that comes across.
Oh, go for it, man. Go for it. Let it go. Just do it.
And also, don't forget to make mention she's illegal.
Yeah.
She's illegal. Every time you talk about it, make mention that she is illegal.
And explain why. Explain why she is.
Explain why she is.
It's certainly not Article 2 of the Article 2 eligibility. There is no doubt, none whatsoever. She ain't eligible to be vice president or president. There's no doubt whatsoever about that, or it shouldn't be. But as to whether or not she's an illegal alien, I'll admit that is something that would have to be argued in a court of law, given current interpretation of things. But I am certain that she is not even a 14th Amendment citizen.
Yeah. And I think y'all did a good job of explaining that, you know, just tell them refer to this show, you know, because y'all did a doggone good job explaining that, You know, a lot of us, we wouldn't go into the details that you all did, but it's right there, plain as day, in the Constitution, you know, and that is supposed to set the standards for the laws in this country is the Constitution. And for us just to ignore it like that, you know, that says a lot about not only the people who run this country, but the people who vote these people in. You know, a lot of us are not well-versed. We're not well-educated on the laws in this country. We just allow anything to happen because, you know, this is our favorite person or whatever. You know, but I think you all did a very good job of explaining that. And
thank you very much, Vince. Just remember, Vince, she's going to take an oath. She's not even allowed to take the office until she takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And she's going to be breaking it the day she takes that oath.
Right there. See, there it goes right there. I mean, it's just a sliding slope. It's an avalanche of stuff, you know. I mean, it just keeps going further, you know. And I guess, you know, if she wins the election, we'll be sitting there saying, yeah, she's a lawless president. She's not legitimate. You know, put an asterisk next to her name like we did with Joe Biden because, you know, Joe Biden got in because the election was stolen. And nobody's going to convince me it wasn't. So,
nah.
But anyway, let me let you guys go. You all have a good weekend. I should have another show next week, you know, God willing. You know, I plan on keeping this thing rolling until Christmas, you know, whenever, you know. But thank you all for coming on the show. Want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room, Duck Northwest Media. Thank you for coming on. Of course, Sarge and Pianchi, thank you all for coming on. And really, I really thank you guys for making that explanation about the 14th Amendment and why Kamala Harris is really not qualified. She's really not qualified to run for president. And it's not just because of, you know, she's a little dense in the head, but she's not even a legal U.S. citizen, basically. But anyway, thank you all. Have a good weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the remix.